So, greetings everybody. Thank you all for joining us. And welcome to our third Thursday World Peace Diet Circle Zoom call. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and we are on the winter solstice, December 21st, 2023. Which is very auspicious, I think, for us to gather together right on the solstice. I think it's right around this time. I can't remember, it was something like in about an hour and a half, I think, is the actual peak, according to the scientists. And then the days start getting longer again. Yay!
So,
it's great to be with you all, and I think we'll just go ahead and jump right in. We're having a special guest, this evening, if all goes well, Sally Litsky from WeDidIt.Health. We met the founder of WeDidIt.Health on our tour. His name is Peter Goldstein, and we probably will have him on at some point. He's a very interesting person. But let's go ahead and jump into our meditation. Before we do that, I'll just say briefly that we are now in Florida. We made it. It was quite an adventure to get here this year. We were a full month, more than a month on the way through snow. Actually, quite a bit of snow at certain points. At one point I didn't know if we were really going to get through Colorado because it was. If we had gone one day earlier, we would not have been allowed to drive without chains. But luckily the snow melted and we get over the 14,000 foot pass in the Rockies and made it down the other side through lots of snow. And then we had snow again in a few other places along the way, Columbus, I think. And we stayed in our van, which was quite exciting. Sometimes we stayed in the van when it was 18 degrees, pretty far below zero, which was not particularly fun for Madeline, but she survived. We bundled up there. And in Columbus, there was a few places. Carbondale, it was really cold in Colorado, and we had snow, frost on the inside of the windows and everything. But it was very warm people and lots of opportunity to spread the vegan message all the way across. I can maybe talk about it a little bit later. But we now are in Florida. It feels like all that's behind us, and it's warm weather in our van. And we'll be heading to Hippocrates Health Institute tomorrow for 6 weeks, where we'll be doing lectures and concerts there on an ongoing basis every week. While we're there, so I'll talk a little bit about that too if you have any questions. But it's really inspiring to be there because you see so many people come in with serious health conditions and have significant improvement just by eating a vegan, organic diet and really getting exercise and positive attitude and good energy and so forth. So it's a very inspiring place to be. And we're glad that we can contribute with our teachings and the music and everything as well. All right, so let's go ahead and just jump into our meditation, and then we'll go into our discussion after that. So I'm already missing the piano, but we'll just have to do it without the piano. Let's just take a few moments. This is a briefer meditation than we normally do on the first Thursday. And I'll fix this here. There we go. All right, so let's just turn our attention within for a couple of minutes here and feeling our connection that we have with our hearts, from heart to heart, mind to mind, and not only between us, but feeling our connection with the infinite web of relations that we're part of on this earth, the whole web of relations of other human beings that we're involved with, and the web of relations of all living beings that we're integrally part of. And from our heart, take a moment now and just radiate a light from our heart in an ever-expanding sphere, sending love and compassion and joy and peace and benevolence and goodwill to all living beings in the infinite web of relations that we're all part of. And giving thanks for everyone who is part of the movement for the liberation of animals and human beings on this earth at this time. For all those who are writing and speaking and in any way through the arts or through their teachings or actions or advocacy, contributing to helping to raise awareness about the importance of compassion for all living beings, the importance of an attitude of inclusion, the importance of an attitude of questioning of the official narratives in our society, and the importance of taking responsibility for the quality of our health, the quality of our relationships, the quality of our consciousness, and just doing our best during the short and precious time we are on this earth to shine the light, like each one of us as a beacon, and shine the light out into the darkness of fear and suffering that in many ways is obscuring people's consciousness with fear and misunderstanding, and just shining the light as best we can of understanding and of truth, of the awareness that what we are is not merely matter. What we are is not merely an object that was born and will die. What we are is conscious awareness, quality of awareness which transcends material reality. It's out of which material reality arises and to which it returns again. And so we affirm our unity with each other and with all living beings and with the infinite source of all life. And we take a moment especially to feel our connection with the cows and pigs and chickens and other animals that are used and abused by the food industry on such a massive scale, and send them our love and our apologies on behalf of humanity for the terrible suffering that they are experiencing, and also to all the animals who are suffering in experiments or for products, for clothing, for any kind of use in entertainment. There's so many ways that animals are abused. So we join together in consciousness and send our appreciation for their tremendous sacrifice that they make. And very often invisible, unrecognized. And so we, in our mind and hearts, we make it visible and we recognize the suffering of these other beings, and we send our apologies and our love and appreciation to them, and acknowledging that we are doing our best to help not only not contribute to that directly ourselves or indirectly, but also to help bring about an end to the violence towards animals that not only harms them, but also boomerangs back onto each other, onto other human beings, as war, as disease, as conflict, and as human abuse and oppression of each other. And we give thanks for all of the wonderful teachers and the teachings from all the traditions over the years and the decades and the centuries and the millennia. People have been shining the light of wisdom and encouraging us to question the official narratives of violence and domination, and not to comply with them, to follow the dictates of our hearts and minds and the inner wisdom that is always shining, the inner intuition that we have that's reinforced by the empathy that we have for each other and the compassion and kindness that we naturally feel, and also the the power of our intellect and of our rationality, the capacity of our mind to understand and make connections and our intelligence, that all of these together bring us to a higher level of awareness where we live as an example of liberation and freedom, not only for each other and for humans, but for all living beings. So thank you all for your efforts, and as we bring our meditation to a close, let's just take a moment and feel in our heart a sense of loving kindness for everyone in our life, those who are close to us, our friends and family, reaffirm that, and also to those who are just acquaintances, and even for those who may be difficult for us, we are mobilizing the inner resources of loving kindness and benevolence to send love to all living beings, even those who are painful or difficult or challenging for us for some reason, sending them just as much love as we send anyone, knowing that we are all related in the big picture, sending love to all beings, sending compassion to all living beings. May all beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering, and may we continue our efforts to relieve the suffering of others, and sending joy now to all living beings in all directions, the joy of being that is rooted in, at the very core of our being, the joy of conscious awareness, the joy of creativity, of celebration, of understanding, of interconnectedness, of experience, the joy that we experience when we see the beauty of the earth and the beauty of the expressions of life around us and the vulnerability, and see beyond the outer forms to the infinite love that is the source of all life. We are at the core of our being a radiating spring of joy that never stops. And then finally, we radiate peace and harmony into our world and see the whole earth now bathed in the light of peace, the light of harmony, the light of serenity and love, compassion, and joy. These are the truths, the deeper truths of our own consciousness and of our existence here. And on the outer surface, we dedicate ourselves to bringing love, compassion, joy, and peace into our activism, into our relationships, into every cell of our body and mind, and to all of our affairs, knowing that it is our true nature to understand the unity of all life. One life living through many expressions. And finally, we give thanks knowing that we're part of the awakening of human consciousness on this earth during these challenging and exciting times. And so it is. All right. So bless you all. And again, thanks for joining us. We are really honored to be able to have this time, really. And this is your time. I want to emphasize that. If you have any thoughts or questions or concerns you'd like us to address, just let us know. We are here for you. And I really mean that. And so I see that our guest does not seem to be here, as far as I can tell, unless maybe it's, there's a number here, 978, if that's maybe our guest. Let's see. Our guest is Sally Lipsky. She said she'd be here, so I'm not really sure. But it's okay. We have always have plenty to talk about. it's not a problem. Let me just double check and see if I have an email. Maybe I'll quickly just send her an email. I'll just see if she's there. And But in the meantime, if anyone has any, let's see, she says, I look forward to joining you. Yeah, and I'll just send one more, but I'll just say we're waiting for you here. All right, so we did our best. Is anyone, I guess before we jump in, oh, Sally, you're here. I'm sorry. Great. So can you unmute yourself? Do you know how to do that? Yay, great. Okay, let me introduce you first before we go on.
Okay, and so, I do have a little, like, 6 slides. I'm a
no problem.
Talker, so no I have problem. A little PowerPoint if you could share.
No problem. Yeah, no problem. We'll do that. Yeah, we can do your,
okay.
I mean, we can figure that out. Okay, so let me just quickly say a few things. You know, I mentioned earlier that we went through Carbondale, Colorado, this little town by Aspen and Vail. It's like a ski area. It's really beautiful. And that's where Peter Goldstein lives. And he's the founder of WeDidIt.Health, which you can check if you'd like at any point. It's a grassroots attempt to bring veganism to the world through mobilizing or encouraging individuals to have conversations and to create what are being called passion pods, where you have people kind of organizing around a passion, like it's for health or for animal liberation, or for spirituality and veganism, or for the environment, all these different things. And so we met him, and then he was also in Cleveland. We actually met him in Cleveland, where his mother, I think, lives, and he was taking care of her. And so we had dinner together, and we talked about all kinds of things. And he's a very interesting fellow. I think he's doing good work. And I've met him before online. It was the first time I met him in person. And he suggested... we talked about it, that Sally Lipsky join us tonight to talk a little bit more about this. We did it .health and the effort that's being made to have a grassroots movement that in a positive way encourages veganism, to try to just spread this out more like we've been doing for years, all of us, through the World Peace Diet training programs, and you all are involved in many things too. So I'll just say quickly here that Sally is a plant-based nutrition educator. She's also an author and a speaker, and author of the book Beyond Cancer, The Powerful Effect of Plant-Based Eating, and founder of the nonprofit Food for Health and leader of the Plant-Based Pittsburgh. And her thing, really, I think a lot of it focuses on creating communities of health oriented around plant-based food choices. And she's also a yoga instructor, meditator, and holistic coach. And she used to teach at the University of Pittsburgh. And she's been working, I think, with Peter Goldstein and WeDidIt.Health, and has created a training based on the work of Angela Crawford, who's a vegan psychologist. And the whole idea is to create, I think, better ways of communicating. I mean, I don't know why we think that vegans need to be better communicators, but I think it's a good idea. And so that's it. I'm really glad that you can join us, Sally. And I'll go ahead do you want to do the slides first? I can make you a co-host.
Yeah, if you could open it, yes.
And then you can share your screen if you would like, and we can all see it. If you want to go ahead and do that at any point, just feel free to do that. And here we go. She started. Okay. So yeah, take it away. I mean, we'd love to hear what you're doing with WeDidIt.Health and about the training that you do as well. So that'd be great.
Okay. Let's see. So making sure.
Yeah.
Everyone can see it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. And I was, Peter got that wrong. He gave the wrong information. I was a professor of education at another university. I got my degree at Pitt, but.
Okay.
It was actually, okay. So I was asked to tell, where was the, tell a little bit about yourself. So I have a first couple of slides about myself, and then the last three or four slides just about the We Did It. So I got into this whole food plant-based eating via cancer. It was my sort of wake-up call, so to speak, and I had late stage ovarian cancer, and I thought I was healthy, middle-aged female doing what I thought was the right things, and got treatment for cancer and waiting for it to come back because it's often resistant to chemotherapy. And that's when I just happened to have a local article about food and disease, and that sort of opened up my world into exploring the relationship between what we consume and disease in our bodies.
Right.
Which, you know, now seems like so obvious, but at that time it was like, what? So that started my eating into the plant-based world, and I changed some lifestyle things. As Will said, I really got into yoga big time and changed, you know, your whole sense of outlook here of gratitude and meditation. And so I'm fortunate because I haven't had any recurrence since that time. And I think a great deal of that is how I changed my diet. So I started like an educator, as like, and you're compelled to tell the story. So I was, you know, going to local libraries, doing adult ed courses, going to community centers, wherever people would have me, just to get people aware of what is the relationship with diet and food and how to do it. And in 2014, when one of my classes and a woman said, okay, now what? After we're finished with these classes, and it was like, yeah, now what? Means we need some local support. So we're coming up, and I realized that as I put this together, 10-year anniversary. So that's where I started Plant-Based Pittsburgh, and it has grown in the last 10 years, fortunately. And we do all kinds of our mission is to create a community of health and well-being. And by doing that is educating about how to adopt plant-based eating and then, of course, how to sustain it, which is so important where that community comes in. So, you know, we're doing a summit this year that's a in-person summit to get educated and to do cooking demos. And we have monthly meetings and a newsletter and a YouTube channel and all those good things.
Great.
And then in 2018, I put everything together because I was also, this compulsion is, this is how, knowing my background in adult education, that was my emphasis, my career, so it was like, I know how adults learn. I know some of the, really, to make it practical and to make it sustainable. So I put it together in a nice streamline. That's where the book came from. And try to, you know, do a variety of topics to get people started, but also to actually have it activity-based and reflective. And in 2002, that's where I got connected, mutual Angela Crawford, another psychologist, connected me to Peter. And Peter was building this organization that We Did It Health with the idea that the assumption is we can do a better way of communicating our vegan and plant-based world. Someone once told me that the toughest thing about going plant-based eating is seeing loved ones not do it and struggle with disease and health. And I agree, that's very painful. But how we present ourselves and how we present our message is so, so important. So one thing Peter did is he set up a scoreboard where people will fill out a short survey about how their transition to plant-based eating has helped them, as sort of like a visual publicity, so that people can see if they're trying to get loved ones and friends on board. Look at all these people that could, that it helped relieve depression, digestive health, and whatever. So that's one thing that is on the WeDidIt.health website. The other major thing is courses. So right now there's two courses that have been developed and presented. One is the Master Vegan Conversations, where two people have worked with this 10-week. It's based on Claire Mann's work, the psychologist's work, and it is really feeling self-empowered to how to talk to people, but also to thrive when we're in a meat-eating world. So that is one course that is developed. The other course is what I ended up doing, because Peter wanted in 2022 to really get into, let's certify, let's have these, call these people grassroots ambassadors who really have taken a step to go through some reading, some experts in the recording, some hands-on practice on strategies, how to do this well. So I I took the recordings and I took the book that Angela Crawford did, and I created a workbook where people can go through and look at the concepts behind that, but apply them, practice them, do some scenarios, do some reflection, and then when they go through the modules here, they get what is called grassroots ambassadors who are certified, feel, again, the sense of, oh, more confidence when talking to people and approaching people. And then the last thing that Will said is what is really on the front burner right now is the Passion Pods, because the other two purposes of the We Did It Health is create a community, and that's where the Passion Pods, we said, around a topic such as the vegan mastermind, or spirituality, environment. There's people who have subtopics within the We Did It Health that really want to meet others who want to contribute. And that's also where the curated content comes in, where the people involved can put up those videos, those articles, those events around that topic. So that's the end of my slideshow, and if you have questions.
All right. Thanks. Yeah, no, I think that's a great overview, and congratulations on your turning cancer around like that. That's really fantastic. And then to go on and continue to work with Peter and with, it sounds like, Angela and other people. I think it's a very interesting thing. I'm just learning about it myself. If anyone has any particular questions, feel free to raise your hand. You can go to the bottom where it says reactions and just raise your hand there. And you can also just unmute yourself and ask a question. But I think, the main thing really is, I guess one question that's pretty obvious is, like, for us, we're all pretty long-time vegans who are doing our best to spread the vegan message as best we can. So what would be the advantage of WeDidIt.health for us? I mean, how does it work? Is it you join, you become a member, and then you meet up with like-minded people?
Yes, it's very inclusive. That's one thing that I really like about Peter's approach, that, so many of these organizations, there's people in the vegan world, sometimes we're in our own little silo. But he's welcoming to anybody. you know, that want to get the message, that want to be very inclusive about the benefits of eating this way. And but the key thing is inspiring others. And that's where I think the We Did It Health is unique with many of the other initiatives, that it is about how can we inspire, how can we maybe communicate better. So that gives a little different approach.
Right. Yeah, and he was asking me if I could do like the vegan spirituality and head that up. And then within that, there's a variety of possibilities. I'm sure there are vegan Christians, for example, vegan Buddhists, for example, vegan yoga people. And vegan yoga people, I've seen, that's quite a big movement. And a lot of people want to know more about that. But there's lots of different, under the rubric of veganism, there's lots of subheadings, and under them, more subheadings. And to have passion pods in those where people could just learn from each other and spread the word and then spread it out to people who are like, for example, with yoga and veganism, people who are into yoga, but they're not vegan, bring them in and help them to see the benefits and how it goes along with the
because
pieces.
It's ahimsa. It's the, do no harm. It's
right.
Right. It's basic.
First of the niyamas. Yeah. Right. So, I think it sounds, really neat. I mean, I, it was great to meet Peter and just see, he came to a bunch of our events. He was very enthusiastic. And I think he's just a great person. So, I just want to, open it up to people. If you have any, interest in this, go to the website. If you want to ask Sally anything to find out more. I think a lot of it has to do with just going there and pitching in. But I would like to, I think it would be good to have some people who would be interested in the passion pods, because I think there's so many aspects underneath veganism where we really have a passion. But some people are into, passing legislation, for example. Other people are more into athletics, or in healing, just healing from disease, or liberating animals from slaughterhouses, so many things. Tams, go ahead. You have something you'd like to contribute here? The whole thing? Yeah.
Yes, I attended the mastery class with Marikita and Angela, and Claire joined us for one session. It was very positive. It was a good experience. There was about, maybe 8 people in my class, and lots of good dialogue.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Claire Mann is a wonderful teacher, and we've been working with her for years. I'm really glad that she's involved in this. You probably all know Claire. I think she's in Australia, and she wrote the book Vistopia. Like dystopia with a V for vegan, and just the difficulty of being a vegan in a non-vegan world, but how to not only thrive as a vegan in a non-vegan world, but also to help inspire others, which is really the same and very similar to the goal of the World Peace Diet Facilitator Training Program, is to thrive. This has been going on since 2010. To thrive as vegans in a not yet vegan world, and to be able to be effective as advocates. I think all these things go together. And given how divided the movement has become in the last couple of years, especially since COVID started, it's really, I think, more important than ever to try to build, build bridges again and try to keep people motivated and as much as we can be on the same side. But also I think I like the idea of passion pods, because you can just focus on what you really, and find people who have similar passions and make ally, become allies in that way, which I think is, we need that nowadays. And also I think, I don't know if you talked about this, Sally, but not only just doing everything online, but also people meeting in person. I think we need more of that.
Right. Yes. I agree. There's nothing like the power and the energy of in person. Yes.
That's one of the things that we like, you know, on this tour, is we're going into all these different cities, and the people come, and we just get to really talk together and share and ask questions and share the message. And that, I think, is, people are hungry for that, and it's really important too. So anything else? Any other comments or questions or ideas that anyone has about WeDidIt.Health and Sally's? And so Sally, is your training, I have a question, just like, if someone wanted to do that training that you did, could they just do it like any time, or do you have to wait until you have a certain number of people together?
You can do it as a self, you know, you just take it at your own pace. We did it, in 2022 in June. Peter had a summit in Cleveland, and that's where we had a group of people do it online and in person at the same time. And that was wild. That was good. But if you go onto the website, yes, it really is self-paced.
Wow. Okay. So either way, so self-paced, you can just go and do it. Is it something that anyone, you pay for, you become a member, or how does that work?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. You go on the website and tell Peter that you're interested and give him a nice pass for free pass from there. Every once in a while, I don't know what Peter is doing, if it is
okay
free, but I think that, well, I don't want to speak for Peter.
So if anyone's interested, they can go on and find
go
out.
Go on and see. Yeah.
It's very much kind of in the beginning stages. I guess you can see that. It's something that's just sort of starting to take off. And
It is. Yeah. There's a YouTube, Peter's a YouTube channel with lots of people talking. If you go back, look at all those talks and events.
Right. Yeah. He interviewed me. He and Marikita interviewed me about a year ago. That's when I first met him, sort of by Zoom.
Okay.
And then, I just met him like a couple of weeks ago, and that's why you're on, because he was there in Cleveland and really wanted to, see if we could, you know, kind of collaborate on something here. So.
Yeah. He's real excited to meet you and talk to you. Yeah.
Right. Good. Okay. Well, let's see. Anyone else have a question or comment or anything for Sally? We really appreciate you taking some time to be here. And
if there's something that comes up, you know, as I said, go into WeDidIt.Health just if you go to Plant Based Pittsburgh, you can contact. It has a contact button. It will go to me. If you have a question for me.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
That's great. Good. All right.
Okay.
So I guess we'll, sometimes there's people still have questions, but it looks like everybody's going to go on and figure it out online. And thanks so much, Tams, for letting us know your experience. I need to find out more too, but I think I have a positive experience. And I think I will be working on this with the vegan spirituality, probably with especially people who are into yoga. Madeline's a very avid yogini and a longtime vegan, and she teaches me a few things. And we travel around and find and give lectures, really, and find lots of yoga studios are moving in the direction of veganism and promoting veganism. We gave lectures in Charleston, a whole bunch of places in yoga studios. And I think it's a natural fit. I mean, when we were in India, you know, that's a country that's been vegetarian for thousands of years, mainly because of the spiritual dimension of Buddhism, Jainism, and the revisions of Hinduism. But they still do dairy a lot. So the challenge mainly in the yoga studios is to try to get everybody off of dairy. And so if anyone's interested in that, I will be probably pursuing that some more. And if you are interested in having your own passion pod within the WeDidIt.Health, and then maybe attracting other people and creating something, you know, there's possibilities. You know, Peter, when I talk to him about it, you know, his main thing is to just do it in a way that's basically harmonious, and, you know, not to, to minimize fighting. You know, like to try to focus on finding agreement and so forth, which I think is a good idea. So, but if you have a passion within the vegan movement and you'd like to collaborate with and find like-minded people, you know, it's a potentially, I think, a great resource for that. And it's just that, like I say, at the very beginning stages, so we can all learn more and be part of that. And we'll try to have Peter here too to find out more directly from him at one of these times as well. All right, so thanks so much, Sally, for shining some light here. We've got some comments in the chat too. People have gone through that have successfully beaten cancer. I think that's great to see. You know, it's so great.
Marina. Yeah. Oh.
Right, right.
Yeah, last year. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Yeah, all right. Well, bless you.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us. You can stay on if you want. You can say goodbye and disappear. That's fine, too. We'll kind of go on here, I think, and there's a few more things we want to go over.
Okay.
But, yeah, great. All right. So,
nice to meet everyone. Bye-bye.
Great. Thanks. Yeah. Bye-bye. So, does anyone have anything you'd like to talk about that's other than what we just talked about or anything? Yes, Suzanne, go ahead.
Yeah, I mentioned this to Will, and he said it was okay if I bring it up. So I'll just bring it up really quickly because I'm fascinated by this. And I think it's in the realm of narratives and lies, personally. So the whole idea of flat Earth. Someone sent me two amazing videos, and I'm convinced. And so I just really want to know if anybody else has looked into this and if anybody else is leaning towards that, or if anybody's interested, I'll send them the videos. And that's all I want to say. I don't want to take up a lot of time, but I'm just fascinated by it because I do think we've been lied to about that too.
Okay, so yeah, the flat Earth movement has been growing. It's interesting. It's been growing. I remember actually when I was teaching college in the 1980s, I heard about flat earthers, and I remember, you know, I remember at that time talking to the students, you know, because I was teaching philosophy courses. I taught a course on epistemology. I taught, you know, a number of times, and epistemology is the study of truth. How you know what you think is true is actually true, right? And so I remember talking, you know, using that as an example. I say, look, there are people who believe the earth is flat. And they're not, like, they don't have low IQs, you know, they're not like bumbling idiots that can't tie their shoes or whatever. I mean, they're people who are very smart, right? I mean, they're well-read, you know, but they believe the earth is flat. Even though we all know it's round, we all know the sun is going around the earth, you know, we all know that. But these people, even though they're very intelligent, they have a completely different take on it. You know, what do you think of that? And most of the students, they were mostly kids, but I had some older students too. It was a community college in that particular class that I was teaching epistemology. And they mostly thought, well, they're just wackos, you know, they're just kind of crazy people. And, you know, you have these wacky people sometimes. And so it's interesting, and then I didn't hear about it for quite a while, and then I hear about it more lately, I guess in the last maybe 5 or 10 years, mainly from vegans, because, you know, vegans are always the ones to question official narratives, you know, it's sort of, I mean, not always, but sometimes anyway. And so I looked into it some because some of my friends, vegan friends, were saying, hey, what about the flat earth idea, you know, and it's very difficult. I think to me it's very difficult because it's so basic, you know, it's like so foundational how the relationship that we have with the earth, with nature, with the cosmos, it's based on the idea since I was a little kid that I'm living on a globe. And the sun is going around. I remember going to the science museum when I was only 10 years old, and they had these models that they showed the sun and the moon and the earth, and why when the sun shines like this and then the moon goes there in between the sun and the earth, then there's a, you know, the moon that's only half a moon and it's a full moon and it goes behind the earth and it's like, it's no moon and, you know, and all these models, and it all kind of makes sense, you know, like, yeah, it makes sense. And it seemed like when I'm flying in a plane, and I've flown in a lot of planes all over the world, and it looks like it's curved to me. I mean, it seems to me like it's curved. So I just have never really gone too deeply. I've watched some of the videos actually, and I wasn't really convinced. I just thought, you know, I still think we live on a round earth. But you sent me those two, and quite honestly, I just watched the first half of the first one, 2021, and the other one's 2023. And I like it. It's interesting, but I didn't have time to go beyond that. So I will watch them, and I think it's a good idea. I'll put them in the, I'll put them out. If you have a way of just copying and pasting them into the chat, those links, Suzanne, that might be great if people are interested, because they are, I think, pretty good videos. I watched a little bit of the 2023 and about half of the 2021 one. And they basically just make the point, different points, but one main point is that the government has been lying about a lot of things to us for a long time. NASA, we know, has been lying about a lot of things. I've already, a long time ago, understood that we never did go to the moon. I mean, that's I think, pretty basic. You know, that's pretty, not many people argue against that anymore. That was a big hoax. You know, we never went to the moon. And so I guess part of the idea is that, well, if they're lying about that, then they could be lying about other things too. So, but the idea that the whole Earth thing, but, you know, part of it, I guess, that attracts a lot of people is this idea that the Earth is round. It kind of goes together with a scientific worldview, which is materialistic and, you know, has this idea of a Big Bang. Sort of this, which to me is so absurd, like for some reason there was this miraculous bang, like where did that happen? You know, just, I mean, where are we? What's going on? You know, it's like, you've heard me talk about this. So anyway, and then everything randomly happened after that, and we just somehow got here we are, it's all random, and it has no meaning. And so the idea is that the round earth sort of all fits into that scientific worldview. And so you have a lot of people who are, I think, basically, this is just an opinion, but I think tend maybe to be more fundamentalist Christians maybe, or people who feel like that leaves God out of it. When you have a flat earth, then you have something that's more like in the Bible, maybe. It's more like, you know, how we think of it. So, but I'm not an expert. I don't know. Where I tend to go, thanks, Suzanne. I see you just posted those, so that's
sure, great. Sure.
Yes, and you can click on those people and you can watch them. But where I tend actually to come down on this for myself, which is probably different from most people, is from my Zen training, really, for all these years, the question really is, I guess, from my point of view, which just sort of goes beyond all of this, but I just think it's important perspective also to just have, is that we don't know anything anyway. Right? We don't know. We cannot know. Like, if you really go deeply into reality, like, what is reality? When you go into, like, the only way we know anything is through our senses, right? We can see, we can hear, we can taste, touch, and we can feel, right? I mean, that's, and then we can think about that, right? Those are the six senses. Then we can think about and put things together and make models in our head based on our senses. But my old Zen teacher used to point this out all the time. This old man, you know, he would say, you never see anything at the moment that it happens. You're always behind it, right? And he would say, if you see a car go by, it takes time for the light to go from the car to your eye, right? So we're always in the past. And what that leads to, it doesn't seem like a big deal at the beginning, but what it comes down to is that there's just light coming onto our eyes that makes these images that we interpret. And this has been found, like I studied vision a lot because I had terrible vision and I was able to improve it. And I really spent a lot of time studying vision. And it's so interesting because people who are, like from when the time they're born blind, and then, and their eyes don't work, something, and then if it's a mechanical thing and scientists, doctors can like fix that, it's not like they can suddenly just see the world like we see it. They can't see anything. Their eyes are working perfectly, but their brain has no way to, you know, and it takes them weeks and months before they can finally start to see cars and trees and things the way we do and actually put the world together, because it's created in our brain through our senses. So the whole idea is that our mind is in many ways constantly interpreting input from our eyes and ears and everything. And so if we say the earth is, we think it's round, and it's really hard to see that it's round. I mean, nobody is at, none of us have actually probably risen up above the earth and really far enough away to go around it and really see that it's round, right? It's kind of like a religion. You just believe it on faith because they told you that in school. So you just, okay, I believe it because I, on faith. What seems more natural is to think it's flat, because that's really what, but again, that's still just our sense impressions. That's just our sense impressions. That's what we think. And sense impressions are not always true, right? I mean, if you look, I used to use this as a classic example. If you had a jar of water, and you have a stick that's straight, and you just put it in the glass of water, it's going to bend. you're going to say, well, that's a crooked stick in there, right? No, you pull it out, it's straight. It's just your eye, it plays tricks on you, and it looks like it's bent. So we can't believe necessarily anything our senses tell us. So ultimately, reality is an arising in our consciousness. In the Buddhist tradition, they go into this in depth. There's whole schools of like literally thousands of books where they, like the consciousness only school of Buddhism, that consciousness is all there is, and you don't know anything outside of consciousness. And consciousness actually creates the categories and the models and everything else, that everything is filtered through. And so you'll never know what reality is, ever, because we are always programmed. From the time we're born, we're programmed. And you can't get out of it. You're born into a culture, you get a language, you get the programming of that culture, you'll never escape it. So you can play around and think, well, it's round or it's flat. It may be something, a third or fourth, it may be something totally different. It's inconceivable. I mean, it's just models that we make. We make models. And so so the closest thing you can come to is a dream, right? If I'm in my dream at night, you know, everything is happening, and I can be in the middle of my dream, I could say, gosh, the world looks flat or the world looks round. But when I wake up from my dream, I realize it was just all a dream. It was just in my mind, whatever it was. And it's this, basically people who attain spiritual enlightenment, they all say the same thing. They say that your mind is creating a dream. It is always creating a dream. And when we wake up out of the dream, but you can't explain that to anyone who's in the dream. Because if you're in the dream, you're in the dream. And you're not out of it. So that's, in a way, the dilemma that we have, I think, with these kinds of things. It's the value of these debates, really the questions, I think, really lies in the degree to which we do have blind faith in our educational system, for example, or in scientific authorities, or in whatever it is, or religious authorities, to tell that we will fight, you know, we'll literally fight someone who says that, no, the earth is flat, and we get really angry at them, you know, no, we know what's wrong, or the opposite way. So the whole idea is to just, I think, part of it is to have some humility and realize, you know, we're like little ants trying to understand what's going on in a gigantic, you know, city around us. We see such a tiny amount of it with our six senses. Our eyes only see a tiny fraction of the potential spectrum. Our ears only hear a tiny spectrum. Our body only feels. I mean, we don't know. There could be all around us, like if I'm in a dark closet, I think there's nothing there, but if I had a receiver, I could see TV shows and I could hear radio shows, all the stuff is in there, I just can't receive it. So we don't know what we can receive, what we can't receive, and we receive, I would say, a fraction of what's available, And from that fraction, we try to make some kind of grandiose declaration about what reality actually is. So to say the earth is round or to say the earth is flat, it's all within the mind. It's within the dream that we're in. And but the value, I think, of asking the question is in just shining the light of awareness on how much our assumptions condition the way we think about ourselves and in our situation. And I think it's healthy to kind of play around with these things and really think about it and how it might be a different thing. It might be totally different than we realize. Because one thing that's interesting to me, I have to say quite honestly, when I thought about this whole thing with the flat earth, is simply that, you know, the model is that the earth is flat, and then it's surrounded, at least the part that we live on, is surrounded by Antarctica, right? These high ice mountains. And that's what holds all the water in. As I understand it, that's the model. And so, so you can't go beyond that. I mean, you can't. But on the round Earth model, you have the North Pole, which is round, and you have the South Pole, which is round. And so all the time, I mean, it's happening all the time. People get on flights in the United States and they fly over the North Pole over to Europe or over to Russia, over to China. People go over the North Pole all the time. I mean, flights constantly go over the North Pole. And what's so interesting to me is that there has never been anyone ever flown over the South Pole, ever. Never been done. And so right there, I think, all right, because that would prove it. If someone would just fly over just get on the plane in Argentina and fly over the South Pole over to South Africa, just do it. They never do it. No one has ever done that. And why not? Why didn't they ever, like, that would disprove the whole flat earth thing once and for all. It would just disprove it because according to the flat earth, you can never do that. You can never do that. And no one ever did it. So right there, that makes me very suspicious of the round earth because no one ever did it. So anyway, those are some thoughts I have. But I think, you know, from the point of view of animal activism, we have to be careful because the thing is, if we animal activists all come out and say we're flat earthers, then there's one more thing they can laugh at us about, you know, because most people already, if you're a vegan, are already like totally fringe. And then if you say, well, I'm a vegan, I'm a flat earther, they're like, ah, you know, like, you know, don't even go there, you know. I mean, already we say I'm vegan, I'm anti-vax, or I'm vegan and I don't believe in climate change. They're already, oh my gosh, you guys are so crazy. And if I say I'm a flat earther on top of it, it's like, oh my God, you know, just like, you know. So we have to think about our credibility, right? Because we're doing this for the animals. So I know I'm happy to have a conversation about anything, but I, you know, among us, right? But I wouldn't talk about this to the general public, at least at this point, because I don't think it's helpful to have our credibility destroyed more than it already is. I mean, they already think we're crazy because we're not eating animal protein, that we have, you know, deficiency or something. And so, you know, but I do think as part of a healthy questioning of official narratives, which I think is great, do it. You know, question it, find out, and see what it does to your mind and to your relationships with other people and to your relationship with nature and the cosmos to have a different orientation. You know, I'm not sure. I mean, I was pretty comfortable with the idea of the globe and the cosmos and all that. You know, I was just used to it. And I'm not sure what it would be like to think in terms of a sun that's not very far away and it's just up there going around. You know, it's kind of spooky to me. It's like, dang, I can hardly like, it just seems so strange. But I realized, you know, like 500 years ago, that's what everybody thought, right? I mean, or you know, the Native American Indians, for example, I mean, they, you know, all these very, and the Buddha, I mean, all these great spiritually, the ancient Chinese Zen masters, you know, these incredibly highly evolved, enlightened beings, and they all lived on a flat earth. And they attained really far higher consciousness than I see around us anywhere. I don't see anywhere the kind of consciousness that they had. I mean, they were far superior to us. And they all believed in a flat earth. I mean, they didn't believe in it. They just assumed, you know, here it is, here we are. So I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. And I think also, from what I understand, and again, I'm not at all an expert on this. I'm a total beginner. But I think there is this idea among flat earthers that there are other realities beyond Antarctica. Like there's all these other realms and things. So I know in the Buddhist tradition they talk about that a lot. There's like countless, they call it teleocosms, which are universes of, you know, of realities. And I like that. I think that's a good model to have, like that there's realities far beyond the little thing we think. And the big complaint I have about science is that it reduces reality so much merely to matter. And we have to, I think, see that there's much more to it than that. So anyway, so those are some of the things I'm thinking about this whole thing. But I don't want to go on too long. But if anyone has any thoughts about it, or you want to add more, or do you want to take
well, the next one? Yes, thanks for giving it even a chance to, you know, to be talked about even for a few minutes. I really appreciate it, Will. And yeah, I think if you watch those two videos in completion, you might really think something different. And I want to say also, yes, I think the main point in a group like this is questioning, because I do believe we've been lied to big time. And the other thing is, yes, it is probably the biggest taboo I've found beyond everything else. You can be an anti-vaxxer and a anti-climate change and vegan and everything, but if you say you believe we're on a flat earth, people flip out. They cannot handle that, most of them. So yes, I think one needs to be careful too.
Well, that's true. And the other thing I thought was interesting was that on that video, I noticed underneath it, they had a disclaimer. They had like a fact check on it by the Google that YouTube put on. And that's also, to me, a positive thing in the sense that, like, if it was really a total stupid thing, they wouldn't bother. Like, you know, some crazy people. But now they're saying, they said underneath, if you believe in a flat earth, that's a conspiracy theory. So they're trying to, like...
Well, that's another...
More. So to me, that's like, oh my gosh, that shows it must be true. It must be true.
Right, and that's another thing is the censorship has gone crazy, absolutely crazy. It's like almost more than anti-vax or anti-climate change. If you look up Flat Earth, you can't find anything. All you'll find is we're a bunch of idiots, morons, conspiracy theorists. To me, that's a hint. That is a hint.
I tried to show that video. I tried to get that link. My sister has a one of these old-fashioned, I guess, kind of big screen TVs where you have to type it in the YouTube, and it's very slow and painstaking to go around and get each letter. And that video, those two videos that you sent me, the links to that you just put up here, YouTube did not want you to get to them. They would not bring it up. We couldn't do it. We could not see it. It was being banned. And the only way we could do it was finally I plugged my computer into her thing and I showed it that way, but she couldn't have gotten to it. So they don't want people to see this. I thought that was interesting. Yeah. They're afraid.
So, Will, can I say something? Can you hear me, Will?
Okay, yeah.
This is Kenny. Can I say something?
Okay.
I mean, I posted some things. Just be short, but number one, I think it's important to mention about this movie I've been seeing coming attractions. I'm sure you've heard of Christspiracy.
Yes.
As I mentioned, I've heard about it. It's the same producer, you know, Seaspiracy and Cowspiracy. And I think that's going to be a really powerful film. And the other thing I want to say, the foundation for my veganism is cruelty to animals. And I think, you know, that's something that really, just because I have dogs and cats, that's important thing to mention is also this Paul McCartney video that I've seen about 8 times and I've shown to others. And just attending the video has made people go vegan or vegetarian because I don't know if you've seen it or you probably
have. Slaughterhouses have glass walls. Yeah.
Well, now's his last meal ever be a vegetarian. PETA sponsors Shorter the PETA. But do you want to talk a little bit about those two subjects? And then one other thing that ties in is, like, you know, 88 billion animals killed it last year, chickens, turkeys, cows, and pigs, trillion fish. Mm-hmm. And it's never shown in the religions or the media. I mean, the fact right. that it goes on. And I think that's important. The media, no one's ever seen that in the media. So that's why.
Right.
You know, I know why, but, you know, it's just, so to me, I said, well, how come you never see that? You know?
Right, right. Actually, I'll talk about that. Yeah, thanks. I think the point that you're making is really good, that, you know, these things are also being censored in many ways, directly or indirectly. And the Christspiracy movie, which is made by Kip Anderson, who made Cowspiracy, What the Health, and then Seaspiracy. He was quite involved with Seaspiracy too, and now Christspiracy. And he, you know, he's one of us. He went through our World Peace Diet Facilitator training, and way back told me he wanted to make a video on the World Peace Diet. And this is a sort of a three part. But the thing I found, because last year we did a showing of Christspiracy in Florida. And a lot of, and I've been trying to, and Lisa also, I think, has been helping, but we've been trying to help him get showings of Christspiracy to groups. And a lot of places will not show it. Like, most churches will not show it. We really tried, like, with Unity churches, to have them show Christspiracy, and they didn't want to show it. And at Hippocrates Health Institute, they wouldn't show it. You know, people are very afraid to offend people. Like, they don't want people to see something and think, oh, I went to Hippocrates and they showed me this film that made me think that my religion isn't good because it allows you killing animals. You know, and the churches don't want that. I mean, everybody's kind of afraid because, they're on the wrong side of that. It's a really good film. You know, I've seen it. I'm in it, actually, a little bit. And, It just poses that question, you know, is there a spiritual way to kill an animal? You know, that's the, and they keep asking that question to all these different, ministers and priests and yogis and everything. Is there a spiritual way to kill an animal? And it's so interesting to see people go, well, not really, but, or how would Jesus have killed an animal? You know? They really are. You know, it's so great. I mean, the movie is fantastic because it's just the most basic thing. Because people say, well, what would Jesus do? Oh, yeah, he would, you know, how would he kill an animal? And one guy said, well, he would have done it with a lot of compassion. Really? I mean, like, how do you do that? You know, so it's so great. It's just, it's a great movie, and I know it will be a powerful movie when it comes out and really help people to ask questions, but it's great. I mean, I thought, like, you know, Kip is fantastic to go in there and just push these buttons. And so I hope once it comes out that we can get the word out there somehow. Churches may not want to show it, but maybe some youth groups within churches or other people will just see it somehow. It's an interesting thing.
I know people have their hands up, but just real quickly, those guys said that they'll come on my podcast and talk about the movie as well.
Fantastic.
For people who don't know, I host a podcast called Vegan Posse.
Right.
The makers, Kip, and the other people involved said that they'll come on in about a month.
Wonderful.
So I'll keep people posted on that, but I'm excited to have them on.
Thanks, Chrissy. Yeah, definitely keep us posted. Kip and Cam, right. Let's see. So anyway, going back just to Suzanne's the flatter. So I think that basically that's, you know, let's just keep it, keep open minds and then notice what, you know, why is it being suppressed so much? That's an interesting question, actually, if it was just a bunch of crazy people. But of course, why is what's happening to animals being suppressed so much? I mean, most things are being suppressed and they may be connected in ways that we don't see right now. But I think it's all about liberating the mind and understanding at a deeper level our interrelationship. Okay, so let's see, we have Andy, you had your hand up too, right from the very beginning.
Hi. That's okay. No, I'm enjoying hearing all of this, and I think I mean, there's a thousand things I'd love to talk about, but I think right now I'd like to just share my activism, and I'm going to see if my light goes on in my car. But, and Will, you might have already seen this, but, you know, people can have their own grocery bags. And so one thing that I've created, and this is the dog meat trade. And, of course, Will, I've stolen something that you have said with how the government programs us, and I don't know if people can read it.
Yeah, my food doesn't scream. Yeah.
Dog meat trade, different countries program us to torture, eat different animals, dogs, cats, cows, pigs, chickens, fish, etc. All equal, go vegan, thou shalt not kill. And this is the dog meat trade. And so my belief is, and then I also have a very similar, I think you've seen my, this is a different one. T-shirts every single day, 7 days a week. I always have a vegan animal rights T-shirt. And if people carry bags like this, like I created this myself, if they don't want to see what goes on in the slaughterhouse, I bring the slaughterhouse to them, and I walk down the meat department, and I'm in grocery stores just about every day. And so it's sort of, and then when I take this bag, when you're ready to go get your groceries, you just throw this right on the cashier counter, and, you know, that's what everybody sees. So it's like people don't want to look, but I'm going to throw it in their face what they're doing. So, you know, it's, anyway, so that's one thing.
How did you get the letters onto the, is it a cloth bag? Did you letter it yourself?
I didn't do it personally. I ordered it. I pulled off the whole dog meat trade picture online.
Yeah,
and
okay.
And then who did it? This one in particular, I don't know if I ordered it through like a Zazzle or a, I can't remember which company, but if you go online and you want to, you know, just create your own bags or create your own t-shirts. So, and I just used a dog meat trade picture, and I've used them for the t-shirts also. And there's plenty online, and I particularly wanted to do the dog meat because people would be like, oh, that's so horrible. And that's why I do the whole thou shalt not kill and all animals are equal. And then I don't have pictures on the posters on my van windshield, but I have a really big sign that says, go vegan, thou shalt not kill. My other smaller sign is a freedom one, but the go vegan sign is so big. And I have to tell you, between my t-shirts, the bags, especially my sign on my van that is so big, people come up to me like regularly. And it's amazing. I get to meet so many people, and they thank me for the vegan signs. So this
great.
Is such a switch compared to like 35 years ago when I went vegan and people either said, what's that? Or you're crazy. And so a lot of changes. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know there's still all this torture and murder of animals, but the very fact that people know what it is,
yeah.
They talk about it. It's not like a question anymore. And so many people have come up to me, and some people have said, I love your sign. And we get into a conversation. I say, oh, are you vegan? And a lot of people are. A lot of people are not, but they might say something like, well, I wish I could be. So I have my little business cards that are what I do, but the backside of it is all vegan resources, like online things where people can watch things free on YouTube. You're on the back of my business card.
Great.
And so many things. So anyway, and then the other thing, let's see, I'm going to pull it up here. I've got a new flyer that I've created that is, it's not the vegan thing, it's not the virus thing, but it, and I don't know if I sent it to you, it's how the government is stealing everyone's homes and properties, and it's just, you know, pretty simple like that. And you are on there as a resource, just what we've been doing to animals is now happening to us in your website, but it's mainly focusing on how the government is stealing everything from everyone in the 15-minute cities and, you know, things like that. So what I love is when my main focus is something else, but the veganism is also in there. So if people have concerns and they're researching things, they're going to see that too, because that's, yeah, you know, the main thing. So anyway, and it's amazing the responses from people. Generally, I think one time somebody had a bad response on the vegan issue, but mostly it's like, I meet so many people. So if people, and I know you have like a magnet on your car or something.
Right. Yeah.
I think the Go Vegan. So I don't know if you've had encounters like that also, that people come up to you because they see that or.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we, that's why I love it. Yeah, we have one, if you want peace, give peace to animals, and then the World Peace Diet and Madeline's, you know, we have those magnets. We actually have them on our website too. If people want to buy one, you can just put it on. We have one on both sides of our van. And it's fun. Sometimes we're in the van and nobody knows we're in there, and it's so fun to hear them go by and then they'll start talking about it, you know, and the kids going, give peace to the animals, Mom, and you know, and we just hear them talking to each other. They don't know we're in there. But I've heard so many great comments, actually. And then sometimes we're out there and we talk to people. And now, just day before yesterday, we were in the grocery store and she had her vegan T-shirt on, and it was great. The woman who was checking us out, she said, "Oh, I'm vegan. I had cancer." I had cancer like 10 years ago and I went vegan and I got over it. But I mean, it's really good, I think. You're right, to wear the word or have it just helps people to see happy, healthy people who are being vegan and want to talk about it and share and help them.
Yeah.
You know, it's always good to spread the word however we can. Definitely. Just make it more visible.
Yeah, I was going to say, and also the some that are not vegan, they want to learn about it more. It's great if we have, like, whether it's a little card or a sheet or something to always hand to them, because, you know, we might have a conversation, but then by the time they leave us, they've forgotten. So that's why I have just a little business card, and you can always hand it to someone.
Great idea. Yeah, with some links. Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Thanks, Andy.
That's all. Okay.
Yeah, we're getting close to, we only have about 10 minutes. Gino, you have your hand up. You have a...
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, Andy is great. We both live in San Diego. We met for lunch once at a raw food vegan restaurant, and it was lunch, and we wound up staying there for 3 hours.
I believe it.
It was amazing. I just wanted to harken back to that whole conversation on the flat earth, and then your comments, Will, related to Buddhist beliefs and so forth. And I put a reference to Rupert Spira in the chat and an example YouTube video there. But I'm just going to read a few things. Rupert Spira goes very deep in all of these things, very much on what you were talking about with the Buddhism. Mm-hmm. Just a couple of titles, like one would be What is Reality? Objects are not real as objects. Reality has no dimensions. You do not create your thoughts. Die while you're alive. Is free will an illusion? I mean, he goes deep, and he's so, so good. I recommend everybody check him out. He's expanded my horizons a whole lot.
Okay.
And as far as flat earth, I don't think I can swallow it, but I did take those two videos to watch, and so I will give them a chance.
Right.
That's all I wanted to say.
That's kind of what I'll do too, yeah. Thanks. Great. Thanks so much, Gino. And yeah, I think it is helpful to have this background, to go deeper with the, how our mind creates our experience in many ways.
Can I throw out something?
Okay.
I'm sorry. It's Andy. I just want to throw out something really quick. I'm not into the whole flat earth, round earth, meaning I just don't give the energy to it, but I'm pretty positive Peggy Hall believes in the flat earth and has done videos on it. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, Peggy Hall and David Avocado Wolf are two well-known people who are out of the closet.
Wow. Right. David Wolf, too. Huh? Wow, interesting.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Okay, Anne, you have your hand up there. Thank you.
I have something I would love to bounce off.
Yeah.
and everyone, and that is that I used to live in the West Coast, and ever since the whole scamdemic, I have not had a massage because now I'm in Florida and I don't know people and I don't want to go into a clinic and say, well, have you been jabbed? So I just haven't had one. But then importantly to me now is that I'm looking for ways to bring in some income. And many years ago, I used to live in England. I took a formal training in reflexology. And so I'm considering whether I can continue that after a long time away. But if I'm a reflexologist, I'm in that position of working on people's feet.
Right.
Whoever comes. And I don't like the idea. I mean, I'm not going to say, have you been jabbed? If so, please go somewhere else. So I don't like the idea of having that kind of contact with somebody who's had the shot. But is that being selfish or, there's no way to know. How do we know what the effect is? Maybe we've all been exposed in place and, it's just so hard to know.
We have a good friend. I don't know if it's any help to you, but we have a good friend. His name is Bob. He lives in Tucson. And he's a vegan. And he would never, he's like you, he would never get vaccinated or anything. But he's an acupuncturist, and he says every day he's interacting with, all of his clients are vaccinated, and he said he has no problem. He said, I work on them. I do whatever I have to do with all these people, and it's no problem. He says he doesn't think it's anything to worry about. He thinks, don't worry. I mean, you're healthy, and that you can't get harmed by shedding of these things. So that's what he says, and he's really confident. And I talk to him a lot about it, and I think it's very liberating. Just think, I'm hugging people all the time. I give lectures, and people are always wanting to come up and hug me, and I'm sure they're all probably vaccinated. And a lot of people who are unvaccinated are afraid that it's gonna shed and they're gonna get sick from the vaccinated people. But I don't worry about it myself too much anymore. I think I feel so good and healthy, and I think, I think it's okay. But, we all have to draw our lines how we do, depending on how we look at things. So, it's one of those things. But he's the only one I know really who's strongly sort of in that position, and that's what he's doing. Cause he needs to make the money too, I guess. He just figured, I gotta do this, so I'm gonna do it. So, but when we're at Hippocrates, it's the same thing. There's all kinds of people there, and we're doing everything together. We're in the sauna together or whatever. And there are some people, there are some people who think that they've been damaged by it. That is true. There are some who feel that they were harmed by someone who was vaccinated, and I've run into that too. Actually, it's one of those things. It could be. I mean, according to the drug companies, they've known for years that vaccinated people do shed, right? And they do shed whatever's in the vaccine to unvaccinated people. And whether or not the whole mRNA vaccines, if they shed also, there are some studies that show that that people's blood has been changed, or people who are like children of parents who have been vaccinated, showing the blood, that their blood is also like as if they were vaccinated also, even though they weren't. So there is some of that stuff. I'm sure you're aware of all that. So this is the world we live in, and I don't know if there's an easy answer to that right now. Hopefully people are not going to comply. I mean, the good news is at this point, only, I think it's only 2-3% of Americans are getting boosters anymore, even though they're still being recommended. Nobody's doing it. So that kind of shows that everyone knows it's a big hoax and they shouldn't get vaccinated. And I think hopefully, you know, this whole thing will, people won't comply the next time. But I don't know.
Michael Greger is still getting his boosters.
No way. Is he really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I used to admire him so much. I used to think he was so funny. I've got his books.
Yeah.
Who are you talking about?
Michael Greger.
Dr. Michael Greger. Yeah.
Oh, he's getting boosters?
Yes. Yep.
Well, yeah, he said, well, he was, yeah. He was always a cheerleader for the vaccines, I know.
Yeah.
But, so they all, pretty much all the doctors were, yeah, it's an interesting thing. So we'll have to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, I mean, there's some people who say that we've all been, even people who have gone nowhere near the vax, the same changes in their blood can be observed. I don't know if that's true. I hope it's not, but who knows? Who knows?
Right.
Can I throw out a comment on that? That that sounds like such a great opportunity if you're starting something and, you know, to offer it and promote, you know, maybe in some way just let me know if you're vaxxed or not vaxxed so that I will know how to, you know, deal with things. And who knows, maybe you could wear gloves for vaccinated people or not, but it sounds like such a great opportunity to educate people who have been vaccinated and maybe want to learn to detox or something.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I don't know if I'd want to make it a requirement, but it's definitely something that could come up as a topic in conversation and so forth. So, yeah, I think.
Yeah.
And I had the glove thing too, but that would be pretty divisive to be wearing gloves, I think, rubber gloves.
Yeah, you might have, but if you have some suggestions of that people can use to help detoxify from the vaccine, you could offer as a, on the off chance that you've been vaccinated, you can, we have, you know, there's natokinase and there's various things that are coming out now that people are recommending. And
yeah,
you can maybe be a resource for them. You know, we met a woman actually in, where was it? In one of these, in Cincinnati. That's what she does. She is a former nurse. And she's like swamped with people who have been vaccinated and who are getting really horrible things happening to them. And she's works to try to help them detoxify and from the whole thing. And she's busy as a beaver trying to do all that. So there's a, you know, that could be an interesting thing. Maybe you could help people who are having those.
Well, could you post that info somewhere, like maybe on your resources so that we could have access to it? Because I encounter so many people all the time that have had the vaccine, and just the other day I gave them one thing, Dr. Amanda Vollmer, and interestingly, I think a friend of mine said one thing you promote, which is like drinking the urine type thing, that can help detoxify. But any resources you have on detoxing from the vaccine, I would love to have those.
Yeah, Peter McCullough is really on top of it. You know, Dr. Peter McCullough, he's got quite a few things that he's found has been helping people. And I'll see what I can do too. And he's the one that came up with the natokinase and a few other things. So,
I can also offer some information about detoxing the vaccine, since that's what I do also as a vegan acupuncturist. And using Chinese herbs, there are so many detoxing supplements that people can use. So, yes, that's the good news.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate all the feedback.
All right. Well, it's time. We have to, now it's 9:30. We're in the Eastern time zone. Not used to this. So Madeline's here, and we're going to, let's say our prayer together. Thank you, everyone, for sharing, and a big thank you to Sally. She's not here anymore for her presentation. I'll go ahead and get this out tomorrow, and we're heading down to Hippocrates tomorrow. It's a whole new chapter we're starting. We're looking forward to that. That'll be interesting. And
can't wait to see you.
So we'll see Lisa and Bridget and a lot of other people, Brian and Anna Maria Clement. Here she is. Madeline is with us. She's been here the whole time. She's just in the background.
Yeah.
My sister's house, and to see you. And my wonderful sister, she's still a long-time vegan, and it's been great to be here. So here we go. We'll say our prayer together. We can unmute. Everybody can unmute yourselves if you'd like, and so we can all create the compassionate cacophony here. Here we go. Compassion encircles the earth.
The earth,
for all beings, everywhere. Great. Again. Compassion encircles the earth, for all beings, everywhere. Wow, it's getting better. One more time with feeling. Compassion.
Compassion.
Circle. For all beings everywhere. Awesome. Thank you, Kenny. That was a lot of passion you had. Good job, everybody.
Maybe change it to compassion for everyone. Spread it over the earth everywhere.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you,
Will.
Happy holidays, everyone.
See you.
Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste. Much love.
See you, everybody.
Bye.
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 Bye. Love you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.